It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. It's time for your Top 4 at 4, brought to you today by Linderman Sports Medicine. Marcus Young, what you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, got some SEC awards given out today as Josh Heupel was named the SEC Coach of the Year.
Good thing for him, Coach. Yeah, I mean, there was a late push, right? There was,
For who?
Well, for Kirby, first of all, but for Beamer, too.
Brian Kelly,
yeah. I mean,
he edged out Brian Kelly by a single vote, I believe.
Wow.
Kelly lost that one, I feel like, down there in College Station. Shane Beamer, don't make me laugh. I realized he beat us, but he lost 4 games this year, and, it wasn't close in most of those. So, congrats to Coach Heupel.
Very cool.
Along with that, Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker was named the SEC Offensive Player of the Year.
He deserves it.
And when it came to the first team, all SEC, you have Jalin Hyatt and Hendon Hooker and Darnell Wright. All 3 guys make the first team. On the second team, you get, Byron Young, named the second team all SEC.
Now, I'm just kind of looking over this list. The other wide receiver on first team offense was that Dominic Lovett guy from Mizzou.
Who's in the portal.
Is he still in the portal? I didn't realize he was that good.
He had a decent season.
Evidently.
At number 2, we've got the AP poll coming out for men's basketball. Houston is still at number 1, undefeated. Tennessee moves up 6 spots to number 7. Kind of interesting that Kansas is up at number 6 right above them.
Well, that's
very Alabama-esque right now.
Oh, and basketball we're up to number 7?
Yeah. Yeah, we moved up to 7. Kansas is at 6 right above us.
So we're 7th in football and basketball?
Football, we're 6.
6 in football.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That is the one thing cool about basketball. You got so many games that
– bounced around. What were we down to last week?
We dropped
– like 17?
We were 13 last week. But before that, we dropped all the way down to, like, I think 22.
Oh, it's been 2 weeks since.
Okay. Yeah. So we started at 11. Went down to 22, went up to 13.
Quite honestly, we deserve that. And I hope that got their attention.
I agree.
Moving on up.
Top 10. Other big moves. Creighton drops 14 spots down to 21.
I mean, none of this
Suck
is
it, even. Creighton.
Crazy.
Going off on poor Creighton, Russ.
Some other.
He brought it up.
Real quick, Gonzaga, by the way, is all the way down to 18after their 5-3 start.
Yeah, but does any of this, I mean, that's the beauty of college basketball, the polls during the season. I mean, it was pretty cool when we were number 1 for like a month that time. But other than that, I mean, it's so fluid. I mean.
Yeah, but like, especially with Gonzaga, I think a lot of people, they were like top 3, right?
Yeah, and they played a murderer's row. Early season schedule. Look at who all they play.
I think they have to because they're just not going to get that kind of competition in the conference season.
Yeah. And just a fun little quick note, Louisville's still defeated. They're 0-7 at this point in basketball. Number 3.
They're still what?
Oh, they're still defeated.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah.
Winless.
They haven't won a game.
How about omni-defeated?
Yeah, there you go.
Still haven't won a game, winless on the season.
At number 3, got some World Cup news as it is officially a final now.
It's a final now.
Brazil defeats South Korea 4-1.
Wow. Beat down.
Croatia defeats Japan in the penalty kicks.
Oh. That was our first crazy 120-minute plus penalty
kick. I was kind of pulling for Japan.
I was too.
They missed. The Croatian goalkeeper saved their first 2 PKs, so it was not a lot of drama after that.
Just a quick update over the weekend so we can get an idea of what's going to be coming up. Obviously, the Netherlands defeated the United States 3-1. Argentina moves on over Australia. Mm. France defeats Poland, and England moves on over Senegal. So
England and France play on Saturday morning. That's going to be
a good one.
Knockdown, drag out.
little tense. They got beef going back centuries.
And Brazil versus Croatia will be an interesting contrast of styles. I would give a strong edge to Brazil there. And then the Netherlands, who beat us against Argentina, is going to be a great game, too.
You going to watch a lot of these?
I'll watch all of them.
So you're about the World Cup like I am about the Olympics.
Venture to say I like it a lot more than you like the Olympics, but
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't think you do. And go ahead, Marcus.
Finally, number four, got Monday Night Football between the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We have a 3-point favorite for the Bucs. Both teams are pretty bad, but the Bucs should win this. They at least have a somewhat stable quarterback situation.
I need Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette to be game-time scratches from the lineup.
You send Jeff Galuli down there with a metal pipe or something?
Yeah, so I can beat one of the Bowling Brothers over there in Nashville.
All right, thank you, Marcus. That is the Top 4 at 4, brought to you by our friends at Linderman Sports Medicine. They're over there in Memphis, and people say, man, Memphis advertiser on Knoxville Radio? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. First of all, we got a lot of listeners all over the state. It is the day and age of the internet. Everybody's listening to this on their phone anyway. Second of all, people come from all over East Tennessee and beyond to experience the miracles of modern regenerative medicine at Linderman Sports Medicine. And basically what they do is keep you from having to go under the knife. You go under the knife, it's a crapshoot. First of all, you don't know if the surgery is going to work. Second of all, what you do know is you're going to have a long and lengthy recovery process via the magic of stem cell technology and other new exciting areas of medicine. Dr. Laura Linderman, true VFL, former UT Martin athlete, graduated from UT Medical School, can help you get back in the game of life without going under the knife. Visit her website, LindermanSportsMedicine.com, today to find out more. You find out why several of Memphis Grizzlies players and other well-known athletes over the years have gone to Linderman Sports Medicine to get recovery faster. LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. And get back in the game of life without having to go under the knife. Linderman Sports Medicine. It is Russell Bear and Marcus, 865-546-8200. As we go open lines here, if you want to chime in, would love to hear from you. 546-8200, your number to get on board. Tennessee headed to the Orange Bowl to take on Clemson. They are a 3.5-point underdog. And this is good opportunity for Tennessee to sort of launch itself into the offseason.
So we officially know that Clemson's the home team? So
yes.
They get the orange? Do we go orange britches or all whites?
I can't believe I'm going to have to say this as a sports aesthetic enthusiast, but, man, I don't care. Yes, I mean, they'll go one of those. They're surely not going to break out the orange helmets or go smoky gray or black or anything like that.
I don't think so.
It'll be Stormtroopers or the uniform we wore at
classics,
Georgia.
Yeah, be a classic.
But, I mean, for Clemson, they could break out the purples. They could go orange on orange. They could, you know, they got a lot of different combinations as well.
If they go purple, could we go orange?
Can we go orange?
They go all purple. We go all orange.
Yeah.
Make it a highlighter game.
There we go. I'll take that.
Yeah, man.
Far out, man. Yeah. The hell are you talking about? Hell no, I wouldn't want that. You want to see those orange helmets again?
I didn't say the bad orange juju helmets. I said I want to see us wearing the orange. They can wear the purple.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't see your politics. Also, God, I don't want to air. I hope they shoot those orange helmets into the sun.
You're just saying that because they lost.
Yeah, I am.
If they won, you would have been fine with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but we didn't. And it honestly, before the game was even in question, I had texted in numerous groups that I felt they looked like Clemson's helmets. It was Clemson orange.
I think it's silly to be upset with jerseys and helmets. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
43 bowl games this year, folks. Count them, 43. And you can go and participate in our Bowl Picks contest. Go to facebook.com/thedrivewithrussellsmith or at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter to find the link. It is free to enter, and you could win fabulous gifts and prizes. We'll go through all of these coming up here in just a little bit. First, though, let's get back to the busy phone lines today. Phil is up next. Good afternoon, Phil.
What are you saying, dude?
Hey, Philly.
How you, Baron? Mark's doing.
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I can't wait to see Kentucky and Iowa. It'd be pretty cool, you know.
And somebody, is Levis opting out? Is he done?
Yeah, he's NFL bound.
So their backup is terrible. Iowa's offense. I mean, what is the over-under on the Music City Bowl this year? It can't be more than 45 points.
I doubt that many points.
Maybe 40. I like it's.
Is Levis playing in the bowl game?
No, he is not. I think it's going to be – that's one of those games that it's best not to look directly at it, Phil, because you could do some serious eye damage. Could really damage your vision if you watch that football game. So be careful.
Yeah. Well, it's going back to the Orange Bowl. Tennessee hasn't had too good a luck in the Orange Bowl over the years. Maybe we can turn it around.
Have we ever won one?
Well, not my lifetime. I ain't won
one. We won one back in the 30s or something?
I remember in 67 we went down there and missed a field goal to end the game. And
hey. Dewey Warren, to this day, says that kick was good, Phil.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but Swamp Rat says it was good. We got screwed.
Well, Swamp Rat says good, it's good then.
He was holding. I mean, he had a great view.
Well, you know how Oklahoma is.
I know that – I can't remember if this was – I mean, this is ancient history, but Tennessee played Oklahoma. I think it was in the Orange Bowl in, like, the 30s, the late 30s. And they said the game had to be stopped several times for just full-on brawls. Like, it was just fist fights everywhere several times, guys getting like thrown out of the game. And, they said it was one of the most violent football games up to that point ever. So, yeah, there's a little history between these two programs, or between Tennessee and Oklahoma anyway.
Hmm. Well.
And now we got a Sooner coach in our team.
Yeah, and then we're going to probably end up playing them here pretty soon, too, again.
Yep. It's a small world.
You know, we had a good year in the South Carolina game. We had been in the playoff. We'd have won that game. It's that simple. But
yep.
Rome wasn't built in a day. And all honesty, Tennessee overachieved for the amount of talent they had on their team.
Here's another thought for you, Phil, why this game is so important for Tennessee is you want to win this game and launch yourself into the offseason. You want to continue to build on that momentum of 10-2. Everybody wants to say, where are all the five-stars? Where are all the four-star recruits committing to Tennessee? And people who follow recruiting know that you don't get that immediate result. It's more of a delayed residual effect. And you want to have another good season next year because you're going to get some of these commitments over the summer next year, and then you're going to have to hold on to them. So, you can't go in there with bad quarterback play and regress back to 7 or 8 wins without teams coming over there and raiding those commitments. Oh, see, you don't want to go there. That was just a one-off. Josh Heupel's one-hit wonder. You want to stay with one of the big boys. Yeah, you got to keep this thing going.
Yeah, well, that's true everywhere. Everybody's going to be raiding everybody now. It don't matter if you got one of these elite programs, people are going to leave there because of the lack of playing time.
Mm. I think I saw the Bama offensive lineman who started 11 games went into the portal.
I wonder if we have interest
in him. I'd be looking at him, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Sure. I'd have an interest in any big-time offensive lineman coming through. I mean, Who else announced?
Well, we need a replacement for Carvin. And I think he was a left guard. So, I mean, that would be one I would look at hard for sure.
And we need tight ends, at least two of them, wouldn't you think?
Oh, for sure. I don't know about two. I mean, you definitely take – it depends on if Warren stays. But, yeah, you're definitely looking for at least one. Looking for – I think you're looking for pieces at every position.
Well, the other thing about
cornerback.
the tight end thing, Phil, is now we don't have a tight ends coach, and you're trying to recruit these guys in the portal right now. So it's not like maybe Heupel will be patient. I don't know, but it kind of feels like there's an urgent need to get that thing settled as quickly as possible.
Well, most time, tight end coach is an elite recruiter of most of these big-time programs, and that's what we need to pursue, I think. You can hire anybody that's a great recruiter and can be a tight end coach.
Well, it's
is Golish gone? Is he doing the Bama thing where he coaches the bowl game, or
I'm
is he
not
gone?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think he's coaching the bowl game.
Like, he's gone now. He just packed up his stuff and bolted.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, heck, the transfer portal's open.
Jeremy Pruitt would have finished the job.
If he's in the playoffs.
Cornbread.
Well, my thing on that is, you know, I went to that open practice the first year, and, like, Golish is the offensive coordinator. Now, I don't know how many of the plays, if any, he's calling on game day, but he's running that practice. Like, when they're having team periods and the offense is lining up and running plays, he's the guy directing the show. Like, Heupel just kind of stands back and watches and is talking to the quarterbacks a little bit, moving around. But Golish is the guy running that. So that's going to be
– Are you sure he's gone, Marcus?
Who?
Golish.
We'll look into that. But if he is, like, that's something that
– Makes me nervous.
Yeah, they're going to have to find somebody to run practice the next month or so.
Well, I mean Heupel's been around long enough. I'm sure he can run a practice.
Sure. Yeah. And I think Halsley's probably ready too.
Yeah, time to step up. And we just need to recruit at a higher level. You saw what happens when you don't have enough time on defense. And when we were living on ball tops, you knew sooner or later that was going to show up, and it did.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, in a way, it would have been better if it had just, and I guess it did show up against Alabama. It's just, we were so good offensively that didn't matter, but man, for it to happen against a team like South Carolina, that's hard to live with, ain't it, Phil?
Yeah, and isn't it kind of hard for Kentucky to realize that they're fifth in the SEC in basketball now?
They did get them a big win yesterday across the pond.
Yeah, they did.
They beat Michigan, the Wolverines. Why the hell would they play that game in London?
I don't know, man.
Or wherever it was over there.
That's a good place for Kentucky fans to go on vacation.
Coal miners go over to London and get a little culture?
I swear to God, at first I thought they were talking about London, Kentucky. Like, what podunk gym or rec hall?
You mean Loudoun or London?
London, Kentucky.
How bad is this Triple J injury? Is it really bad, or is it just
nobody knows?
Shrouded in mystery, Phil.
Anybody that tells you they do know, if unless they're Rick Barnes or Triple J, nobody knows for sure.
Well, if it was so bad, why did he play last night?
That was my whole point.
I know he's going to be rusty. He ain't played in a while.
He's got to get the rust off before SEC starts. He hadn't played all year.
And then probably need him for Maryland if he can go.
I just wonder if I don't know about you, Phil, but when I have an injury, and granted we're not elite SEC athletes here, but when I have something that hurts, the way to get it healthy is to rest. And I just wonder if there's not a school of thought that, okay, he tried to come back and push through it and he had a setback. Why not just shut it down, man? Why not just shut it down, ride the exercise bike, do whatever you got to do to keep in cardiovascular shape, but give it a couple weeks rest and come back at the start of SEC play, because we've gotten by without him just fine. We won that tournament without him. And I worry that he's just going to do the Steve McNair thing where he just plays games and doesn't practice, and then what kind of shape is he in? It's a big concern.
And by the end of the year, he's not going to have much left in the tank. So, what do you think about Awaka, Phil?
Well, he's got a lot of potential. Just think, a year in the weight room, and, of course, the only thing holding him back is Tennessee's poor post coaching.
Wow. Taking a shot
at – look at it.
I mean,
you seen a post player get better over there?
Euros.
Grant Williams got pretty good. I think that we probably have missed on a couple of guys, haven't panned out. I mean, Urosh is a better player now than he was then. Kamwa is a better player now than when he got on. Kamwa's the key to me, man, on this team. Like, he's got to be – he doesn't have to be dominant, but he's got to be, like, you know, 10, 12 points a game, 6, 7 rebounds a game. Like, he's got to be dependable.
He's got to be hovering right around a double-double.
Yeah, but he's always bipolar. He has one good game and one bad game, or within a game, he does the same thing.
Yeah. The one I think a lot could hinge on is if. It's a big if. We haven't seen it out of him. But if Meshack can consistently play the way he's played so far this season, when we get into the SEC part of the schedule, that's huge. I feel like he's one of our best defensive players, if not our best defensive player.
Boy, he's definitely going to be put in there to stop the number one option on the other team.
That's what's been so critical to me is getting his offensive production, which has kind of been non-existent. But, I mean, he's making plays. He's making them at the rim. He's hitting shots. He's not, you know, dropping into those funks where he just disappears for 10 minutes.
Well, he's kind of shaky with the ball. He needs to improve his handle, but he is getting better. I mean, he was a top 50 recruit for a reason. And just like B.J. Edwards, last night showed some flashes, even though he didn't even attempt a shot.
Wonder if he's ever going to try him at point.
He played some point last night.
Yeah, in the second he did.
I don't understand the philosophy of playing key at point when he's a shooting guard. I just don't understand it. Maybe they know more than I do. Of course, they're making more money than I am coaching basketball.
Have a little faith in Rick Barnes, man. He's put together some good teams. We got some players on this team, Phil.
Got some players. Look at their defense. I never seen such a suffocating defense out of a team over there.
But I just say, I listen to this conversation. I look at the polls. We're number 7 in the country. Like we're okay. We're okay.
Are you guys concerned at all about that brace on Double Z's knee?
I didn't even notice.
He looked pretty quick last night, but he turned the ball over 4 times, which is he's going to have to rectify some of these turnovers he's getting. But they held the ball better last night. Of course, they're playing an inferior opponent than they did with Muscovy's out there handling the ball. So, but you need some, Muscovy's shooting is going to be needed, especially Sunday when we play the Turks.
That game's coming up Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to get ready for Maryland. Phil, appreciate it, my man. Thank you for jumping in here. When we continue, got some semi-breaking news to report to you. By the way, the over-under for Kentucky, Iowa is 35.
Yeah, they're only a 2.5-point favorite.
Good grief, man. We got a former Tennessee football great. The new home in the National Football League, and perhaps another player to keep an eye on in the transfer portal. We'll clue you into that when we continue. Stay with us. It's The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Brazos County records indicate that Texas A&M cornerback Josh Moten was arrested for the third time in his A&M career yesterday. He was cited by College Station Police Department for driving while intoxicated, striking a fixture on the highway, and reckless driving. Posted $2,000 bond was released the same day. He's also cited on June 19th of this year for possession of under 2 ounces, of marijuana, and in February of 2021 for tampering/fabricating physical evidence. 3 run-ins with the police in 2 years?
Russell?
It's not good.
This isn't Mr. Moten's first appearance on the docket on The Drive. Josh Moten, right?
Was he?
He's been on the docket before for some of his other arrests, I'm pretty sure.
For some of these things, yeah. I do this segment every day. Some of the names and faces run together after
the years. That's a very unique name, Josh Moten. He's an SEC player.
Oh, update. This just came across my desk here. Moten has entered the transfer portal. That literally just happened.
Jimbo's
like, listen, dude, this is three arrests in 2 years. What do you want from me? You understand the kind of pressure I'm under? I don't have time to deal with you.
What position is he again?
Cornerback.
Corner?
Don't.
Is he any good?
Dude.
I'm just asking.
He's good at getting arrested.
I feel like me and you could mentor the kid. We could enroll him in the drives, how not to get arrested thing we used to do.
Don't drive drunk. Don't smoke weed. Don't tamper and fabricate physical evidence with the police.
Don't drive through the front of bars.
You know those dumb things you've been doing frequently? How about not do those?
Or at least if you are, here's some tips how to avoid getting involved with law enforcement.
The criminal underworld.
I felt like that was part of our service as well. We're trying to coach him up a little bit. Look, if you're going to do that.
I bet I got some goofy non-sports things today. I don't have time to get to all these. I'll throw out a couple here. Police in Alabama have arrested an 82-year-old woman for not paying her trash bill.
What?
82-year-old Martha Minifield walked to the front door to meet a police officer outside her home. She thought he had gone to the wrong home. Officer asked her, "Are you Martha Minifield?" Yes, she responded. Officer's replies, quote, "Well, Miss Martha, I got to arrest you." She couldn't believe it, Minifield said. When asked why, she was told a warrant had been issued for her arrest because of an unpaid trash bill. The overdue amount tallied $77.80. So they put this old lady in handcuffs and took her down to the big house. Shortly after, officer followed Minifield into her house. She got a sweater, handcuffed her hands in front of her body.
So granny put a cardigan on, and they handcuffed her in front or back.
Put the bracelets on in front because, you know, we don't want to get crazy here.
But they put cuffs on an old church lady grandma down in Alabama.
Resident of the city for nearly three decades, Minifield told the Washington Post that she was glad her grandkids, who stay at her house on some weekends, weren't there to see her arrest.
They'd have caught more than that if they'd done something like that. You know, some crazy grandma thinking like my mom.
City posted an explanation for Minifield's arrest on Facebook on Tuesday. In the days since, thousands of people have denounced the arrest, with some describing it in the comments as, quote, shameful and pathetic.
I mean, talking about $77. I mean, if you'd just gone to that woman's church or in her, she's involved in her community, whatever community it is, wherever she lives, and been like, hey, everybody chip in a couple of bucks here because there's this law in the books and they're going to make us take Miss Minnie to jail.
Got to pay that trash bill, man. You got to pay your bills.
Make it 82, you ought to get free trash pickup. That's just me. I mean, come on, man. But that woman's probably lived through.
Everybody's got their hand out. What has she been through? What does she have to do, man? Pay your bills, Grandma. How about that? Pay your bills. I'm sorry. This isn't numb. There are rules.
You make me sick.
We have laws in this country. Make an example out of her. Execute Grandma Minifield.
So let's say your mom, Russ, who I'm not saying is 82.
My mom pays her bills, Bear.
What happens if she forgot and they were just going to come and arrest? You'd be all right with your mom going to jail?
She ain't forgetting. Trust me. Mama ain't no fool. She might have raised one, but she ain't no fool. I'm just kidding. They probably shouldn't be. It just seems like there's probably a better use for public resources than arresting.
All the whacked out stuff that's going on in our country, you're going to take an 82-year-old woman to jail.
You don't have bill collectors in there? Like, is somebody like knock on our door and, excuse me, ma'am, can we set up a payment plan here somewhere?
Or figure out, you know, I mean, is a poor woman poor? Can she not, you know? I would hate to think that an 82-year-old person is having to decide, you know, in their budget, well, do I buy groceries or do I pay for my garbage pickup?
Meanwhile, in Minneapolis, the Minnesota Board of Pharmacy today announced the filing of a civil lawsuit against some Moorhead-based THC edibles manufacturers and retailers.
Huh?
According to the Pharmacy Board, the lawsuit filed in Clay County District Court alleges that the edibles manufacturers and retailers have violated Minnesota's edible cannabinoid laws. Court documents show the defendants as Northland Vapor Moorhead LLC, Wonky Confections, and Northland Vapor Bemidji LLC.
What'd they do?
They are accused of selling THC edibles at, quote, 50 times the allowable levels and in shapes that resemble products marketed to children.
Why would they do that?
I don't know, Bear.
I'm not a grass expert.
I'm not either, but I understand basic economics, and that just sounds dumb.
What?
Usually the stronger it is, the more expensive it is.
Thought you said you weren't an expert.
I'm not.
You seem to know a lot about it.
Oh, I made no bones. I mean, edibles helped me through my treatment. I won't lie about it a bit. But I don't understand what goes through somebody's head to make it attractive to children, that part of it. Do they make it look like Skittles or?
I don't know. They look like gummy bears or just, I don't know, chunks of maybe fruit snacks or something right here. But, yeah, they're all up in a tizzy up there. Coming after the weed, man. Oh, I got one more of these here. Where was it? Oh, yeah. We'll stay in Minneapolis. Lawyers for the family of a boy who was thrown from a balcony at the Mall of America say the two sides have reached a confidential settlement in a lawsuit over the incident. Boy, his name is Landon. He's 5 years old when Emmanuel Aranda threw him from a third-floor balcony on April 12, 2019. Aranda pleaded guilty to first-degree attempted murder, sentenced to 19 years in prison for the attack. Landon suffered extensive and, in some cases, permanent injuries to his brain, face, arms, legs, and internal organs when he struck the floor of the mall. Just flipped them over the side there, three stories. Five-year-old boy.
Just to do it?
I don't know.
Wonder how, I don't know. I always wonder how I'd react in that situation.
I mean, we've all seen kids acting a fool out in public before. We've all fantasized, like, slapping, you know, give the backhand, like, come on, get your kid under control.
And backhand him, just yelling at him.
This guy took it a little too far.
Sit your ass down.
This guy took it a little too far.
Yeah, no, like, I'd be real tempted to grab him by the back of the belt and toss him right after him.
Oh, the family got several million bucks. I hope they are well taken care of there. That's a terrible story. The docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the CarWreck Pro attorneys. I know it got a little dark there. I'm sorry. Headline grabbed me. Fox and Farmer, free consultation to discuss your case, answer any questions you may have. They don't get paid unless you get paid. Over 100 years combined experience. You know the deal, Fox and Farmer. They are the CarWreck Pro attorneys. You find yourself injured in an accident and in need of legal representation. These are the folks to call. Fox and Farmer, the CarWreck Pro attorneys. All right, so a couple of things to hit on here. The portal. Austin Price over at VolQuest says, name to watch, wide receiver Dante Thornton from Oregon has entered the portal. He was a four-star top 100 recruit in the class of 2021 out of Mount St. Joseph, Baltimore, Maryland. A lot of people think that Penn State is going to be in play there, but perhaps Tennessee could get involved for a four-star. I know this is a point of contention on the show Friday. People say we need more wide receivers. I think we need more everything, including wide receivers. Wide receivers not number one on my list. But hey, man, you get a four-star top 100. If this kid can play, 6'5", 185 pounds, that's a big receiver too.
Tall, rangy.
Yeah, go ahead and sign him up.
Where's the cornerback from? Oregon? Did you say a corner?
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
I'll throw a quick name out there for you.
Okay.
Eric All
From where?
Tight end out of Michigan.
Huh.
They
have good tight ends up
there. He was a starter last year for him. He had 437 yards and two touchdowns. He's listed at 6'5", 255. He's out of Ohio originally. And he put his name in the portal.
See, that's a position, Russ, that kind of gives me – it's going to be a worry for me all offseason because we're kind of have to – going to replace quite a bit of production from that position. Big part of our offense in Princeton fan.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of our big playmakers
this year. That's number one on my list. Right up there with any sort of secondary help is tight end. Yeah, definitely. The kid from Shorter College, I think, is number one on their list, but this sounds like an intriguing prospect. Thank you, Marcus. Also, teased this before the break, Detroit Lions announcing 35 minutes ago they have signed quarterback Joshua Dobbs to their practice squad.
Astro.
So there's another practice squad signing?
Like, was Dobbs with the Jags for a while before?
Yeah. So he's been with the Jags, the Steelers, the Browns.
Oh, he was with the Steelers.
He was drafted by the Steelers.
All right, so he was with – he did get to go to a really good organization for a while, but since then he's been with the Jags, the Browns, and now the Lions.
Hey, man, he's on a practice squad. He's still playing ball.
Can my guy get to a decently run organization, man? If there's somebody that earns, I get it. It's the NFL. You just want to.
Key is just being
job.
On that squad.
If there's a guy that deserves to be in a professional, well-run, working environment, it's this young man. I mean, really, the Lions? Okay. I hope he does well, man. Proud of him. Glad to see him staying in the league after all these years. I suppose I would rather play in Detroit than Cleveland. Get out of the Haslam House of Horrors. That's all I'm saying.
Got somebody. I saw a behind the scenes video at their complex up there. It's absolutely incredible.
Who's?
The Browns. It's like all this. I'm sure they're all like that though. Just all the gizmos and gadgets and food and like they showed where they go to get pick out their cleats and their shoes and.
Oh yeah.
It's like going to the nicest Foot Locker you've ever seen. There's weight limits.
Have you seen the weight limits?
Like certain cleats, they'll have like the cleats up on the wall, like displays. Like you're walking into Foot Locker, and it's got a thing down. It's got part of it. It
this
tells
is what you,
you
weigh if you.
This yeah,
is
you what cannot you wear this cleat if you weigh more than 150 pounds. You have to go up to a different cleat.
Huh. It's interesting. Did you see the videos of Dion touring the Colorado facilities?
Little bit of it.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of excited about this whole situation.
It's an intriguing story, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. His press conference kind of got me fired up.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Maybe not about this, but by the end of the show.
I will have lied about something. Yes. Yeah. That's all right. You do it too, and so do you. I felt like it. There were moments in it a little cringy to me. Like, I think he may be one of the least self-aware people I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, he's the original diva athlete.
Yeah.
And,
He ain't Bo Jackson.
To be
diva.
So full of
– He ain't Bo Jackson.
He's one of the best athletes of all time.
He is.
And he achieved more – I mean, most people would tell you, like he's probably the best cover corner in the history of the sport.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't really know what Bo Jackson – obviously the injury ended his career prematurely, but Dion was a great baseball player, man.
Yeah, he wasn't on that same – like Bo Jackson could have played at a Hall of Fame – and it's a lot harder to get in the Baseball Hall of Fame than his
– Shout out to Fred McGriff, the crime dog, making it in. One of my all-time favorite Braves.
Somebody brought up something. I guess that's why. Did they just announce that about the crime dog?
Yes.
Told the story about when there was some game where they had a flyover and one of the planes was like right at the sound barrier. And I don't know if it flew over. And then the crime dog led off with a home run. Just absolutely crushed one. Fred McGriff.
What were we talking about? Yeah, so Deion, like you know he's been in these nice facilities before as a player, and but it was kind of cool to see like some of the guys that are a part of his entourage, which is sizable, that hadn't been, you know, I guess they had started with him in his high school thing and then at Jackson State, where obviously they don't have the facilities, the resources that Pac-12 schools do. To see them walking through there is pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, he's going to get players there. It's going to be a storyline. I'm interested to see. I mean, for him, it's going to be about, you know, who are the coordinators he hires and how do they run their program, because, you know, everybody has those resources now. And I think that he was able to create a situation at Jackson State where they probably had a lot more resources than their competition. Now, obviously, not as compared to FBS schools, but on the FCS level, you know, he was able to get them an Under Armour deal and raise their NIL profile and all this stuff. Now you're going up against Washington, USC for at least a couple of years, other Pac-12 schools. And that's an interesting thing to consider too as well. Like once USC and UCLA get out of there is, you know, if he can get them going, like there's an opportunity there, but I don't know. Like,
is Colorado a Nike school?
Yes. I look at it as like a high ceiling, low floor. Like it could be a boom or bust with Deion. Nothing would surprise me.
He's already got, it's not until 2025, but he's already got a five-star recruit committed to him, wide receiver out of IMG Academy.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I think he's going to, I think you're right. I think it's going to be boom or bust. Either it doesn't work out or he ends up being the best coach in the Pac-12.
You know, the one thing, though, is he spent time. We'll circle back to it.
Let's take a quick break. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in on the Big Orange Phillies phone line, the drive continues right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, 865-546-8200. A interesting candidate has emerged at UNLV, the vacant head
football
coaching job there. Yeah.
Who is it? Somebody we know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's somebody you know. I didn't realize that job was open.
Butch?
Nope. Interesting fit, though. Can you imagine the UNLV Running Rebels coming out of the tunnel being led by one Edward Ogeron?
Whoa. Only if they...
Oh, Running Rebels!
Give him like a crushed red velvet suit to wear. 3-day growth of beard.
He comes out there looking like...
back. Like eyes all bloodshot.
Bow tie, like, loosely untied around his neck.
Red Bull ring.
Looking like Siegfried and Roy or Liberace or something.
Looking like Hunter S. Thompson's attorney.
Let's get John Tweet in here next. Tweet, you're on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
They paid Ogeron a pile of money to walk away.
That's the way the game's played now.
If I'm not wrong, Viscovi got hurt late in like a 30-point-plus blowout, correct?
Yes.
What? He's done, this has been old Reverend Rick's M.O. since he got here. He'll get up 25 or 30. The starters will be in until maybe a minute and a half or 2 minutes left in the game. Why? What is he trying to accomplish?
Who pulls their – I don't know. When do you pull your starters? When does Coach K, Izzo, Cal, when do they pull the starters? I don't feel like Barnes is an anomaly in that regard.
I think Bear makes a good point. I don't think would you guys agree Tyreek should not or cannot? I don't know which is running point.
Oh, that's just not what he does.
I don't think you – I don't think you want him handling the ball.
Whoa.
Josiah might be able to do it, but you don't want him having to do it. I don't think Viscovi's a point guard exactly.
He's not. It's not his strength.
And Mighty Mouse has been turnover prone.
Are we ripping? Are we doing this? Is this what? Are we ripping
not,
our basketball team? That's
what?
Hold on. Let me finish. I know where he's going.
We've won five or six games in a row now, including a tournament where we beat the defending national champions decisively.
Your mama's Kansas
to win that.
They're terrible.
Kansas is terrible. Kansas basketball. The Jayhawks are terrible.
They're not that. I don't. The Kansas we played, I don't think was particularly good that particular night.
But they're replacing players off that last team, but they have maybe the best freshman overall in the country on that team. Grady Dick.
Grady who?
Grady Dick.
I didn't think he was. Okay, somebody shut him down. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, Tweet, but we're the number one defensive team in college basketball this year. Yeah, we shut him down.
I could play defense against those clowns.
You could play defense against the – hold on. You could play defense against the number six ranked 8-1 Kansas Jayhawks. We're the only team that's beat them.
Russ, I'm not talking about Kansas. I'm talking about the last two clowns where we padded our stats. Kept them – like, what if one of them hang 40?
30 Oh, Tweet.
Tweet, come on, dude.
You're crashing and burning right now, bro.
I'm not trying – what I'm trying to say is I think you will need Edwards at some point, and I think you need to get him on the floor. And I'd love to know the backstory as to why he doesn't see it. What's going on? Like, I mean,
here's my observation watching him yesterday.
Ball over more than I recall him turning the ball.
Here's my observation.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Russ.
My observation watching him yesterday. Appreciate the call, Tweet. We got to run. Like, you see this guy just terrified of making a mistake on defense.
We've seen that look before.
And, like, he just runs to the corner and is, like, not doing much offensively. Like, it looks like his head is swimming. So, I don't know why they don't have him playing point, but it's not going to happen at this point. Like, Rick Barnes, not a guy who changes his mind midstream. So, guys, we're number seven in the country. We're 7-1. Yeah. We've had one bad game all year long.
I'm not gnashing my teeth. I'm wanting to get to the Elite Eight of the Final Four.
Our really good basketball program. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up.